您现在听到的是精简版的 Roundtable 节目，想收听并下载一小时完整节目，可以打开网站 CRIEZFM.com 点击 Roundtable。 Podcast 用户可以搜索圆桌会议。
A list of brick and mortar stores or physical stores that closed at the end of 2015 has gone viral. The retail sector has been hit pretty hard. Is there light at the end of this tunnel for these physical stores? 最近一个2015年里阵亡的实体店名单受到了大家的疯传，其中零售企业受影响最严重，这是为什么呢？谁能来拯救陷入了低谷的实体店呢？So physical stores are having a difficult time. That is not news anymore. But is it really that bad in China in 2015? Guys, give me a picture here.
Well, in the year of 2015, these stores, the big supermarkets and shopping centers, have all faced a loss in profits. And according to the data from the Ministry of Commerce showed in the sales revenues of 5,000 key retailing enterprises,They only increased a 4.6% increase last year. Hoyang is right about how this isn't a news story. I think I started following how brick and mortar stores were closing down since 2012. Mm-hmm. The first case I can remember of this personally was with Game, which is a store in Great Britain that sells video games. And we loved going to them when we were kids because, A, they would offer you an exchange if you didn't like the game, and they had discounts and they had a great service. But as Amazon and all these other online entities grew, we watched that enterprise just fall apart in front of our very eyes. Mm-hmm. And with China, you've got such a popular e-commerce sector here. It's no surprise that...the old-fashioned brick-and-mortar stores are really struggling.
Can I please just quickly make a correction here that I think in the translation of the research there's something lost in translation, that the shopping malls that you, Sam, has rightfully cited actually, I think, mean department stores here in China. So the 百货公司, and these department stores, they have like all kinds of stuff that's being sold there, but they're justselling stuff. They might not have a theater, they might not have the extra facilities, for example, that parents and kids can enjoy, and it's very singular. It's selling all kinds of stuff, and those kind of department stores are dying right now. And the best example I can give you is in Beijing, there was this department store called Baisheng that used to be the place to go.But last year, it sadly, you know, saw its business just go way downhill.
I like Sam's idea when he points out that maybe the popularity of online sale is one of the reasons why brick and mortar stores are deteriorating in recent years. But I believe that only accounts for a small part of why brick and mortar stores seem to be dying in recent years.
You think that's only a small part?
Yes, that's only a small part.
Then what are some of the other parts that you think are the main reasons then?
For example, some of the products that are offered by those popular brick and mortar stores that used to be have the day in previous decades, they not seem to quite appropriate in recent years. For example, a lot of these department stores, they sell nothing more than just daily necessities. And we know, according to some principles of economy, that the amount of money people are willing to spend on daily necessities will not necessarily fluctuate significantly according to the money they're making, according to the changes in their income.
Okay.
So if a family spends like 100 yuan a month on daily necessities, when they're making 500 yuan a month, they're not likely to double that spending when they're making 1,000 yuan a month.
Okay, so it should be the products that people would maybe buy on an impulse, or they think it's something that they would spend a bit extra on as a little reward to them might be the growth point
exactly.
For some of these businesses. So guys, can you please go through the list more or less for me and see like what are the trends that we can pick out here?
There are certainly some examples of precisely what are the brick and mortar stores that are suffering. For example, this is an example of McDonald's.
McDonald's! I'm glad you point that out because I was a bit surprised when I saw McDonald's on the this list of not doing so well actually closed a lot of shops and stores list.
Yes, this is a brilliant example about how online sales is just one part of reason why brick and mortar stores are dying. Well, certainly the rise of online sales and the development of service online sales and the development of maybe mobile application has caused some kind of decline in the sales of McDonald's. I mean, previously, McDonald's and KFC were probably the only two companies that were willing to deliver food to your house. Now that there are many more applications mm-hmm. that allow restaurants to have their food delivered to your house, people have more choices. And also, that's why I say this is one of the reasons why online sales is one of the reasons. But another reason is, well, people have a growing awareness about healthy diet.
I think the other point to make McDonald's as well is the fact that they were at the forefront of online sales. When online launched in China, when McDonald's launched online in China, they had an English, they had a bilingual service, they were doing their stuff in English, you could access them via the app, they're on Baidu Waimai, they're everywhere, and they've done a fantastic job of really promoting themselves online, but they're still in our list of enterprises that aren't doing, brick and mortar stores that aren't doing that well, which shows that even if you have got a great online model, and I personally believe that McDonald's, out of all the fast food chains, is probably one of the best online models, it doesn't set you up for a guaranteed success. You can still fail despite doing everything you can to promote yourselves online.
This is also behind why Walmart seems to be retracting some of its business in major cities in China. But according to news stories about Walmart, it seems this is just a part of the global strategic adjustment.
Yeah, that's the perfect excuse for whenever a shop or storefront has to be closed in a foreign country for me. But certainly, I think you guys make really good points here that seeing McDonald's on this list is, I think it could be the reasons that you guys cited, but also, just to throw it out there, see what you guys think about this. Could it be that these major, you know, foreign retail fast food giants, they may have developed to a oversaturation kind of point
yes.
in first-tier Chinese cities? Because this report heavily looks at first- and second-tier cities in China. And so in these big cities, I mean, Chinese consumers' taste is changing fast, and with the growing middle class, maybe people are not really thinking that McDonald's and KFC is fancy enough and they have other options. And when you look at, let's say, third tier cities, maybe that is still sort of like unknown territory that these companies can maybe explore a bit more.
Certainly makes sense, but there are also a lot of copycat companies like KFC and McDonald's.
Mm. Already there.
Who even sound like KFC and McDonald's.
Who sure, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that could be a tough competition for McDonald's and KFC to expand their influence in third or fourth tier cities.
Yeah, and also I saw this other business report earlier this morning about like Pizza Express and... Well, Sam, you must know Pizza Express. It's not really that high-end, but it's sort of, you're having pizza, but you're still properly dining out, that kind of restaurant. And it's seeing its growth rate fast in China. So I think you can see that consumer taste is changing fast, and you need to keep up with the pace. So McDonald's and KFC, you need to work harder on this.
I mean, let's not be entirely unfair to these fast food enterprises.
I
think McDonald's has done quite a bit in terms of bringing itself up into a mainstream market and trying to appear as a bit upper class. But it's just, when the product you're selling is quite cheap, you can dress it up all you want, but a McDonald's burger at the end of the day is just always going to be in our minds something quick and greasy, and it's very hard to promote that in every way.
Mm-hmm.
So for them, they're limited a lot more than a company like Pizza Express, who can really draw on the Italian roots of the dish they're serving and really dress up their franchise a bit.
Yeah, see, that is a bit of a predicament for certain companies, although that's hardly the word I would use to describe McDonald's business, because I think globally, and especially in the U.S., it's experiencing a very difficult time. But, I mean, when you're that big, you can afford to lose a little bit at that market and still, you know, have a healthy growth rate in China, despite the fact that they're not expanding as quickly as they used to.
So I guess we reached the conclusion that maybe the brick and mortar stores are not dying. They simply have to find some other place to survive.
I think they've also got to alter the method of how they survive as well. I did a great bit of reading recently, and I want to recommend it to all of our listeners. If you go on Forbes, they released an article during October last year that was called Three Ways Brick and Mortar Stores Are Closing In on Retailers. And it talked about the three different ways in which brick and mortar stores, or as I call them, brick and mortar stores, the British equivalent to that expression, are actually making a comeback.
Mm.
And one of the biggest ways they talked about was how stores are now turning into express centres. So in the United States, there's a massive by Hordian, it's called a Target. Mm-hmm. And Hoyeong, you must know Target, I'm assuming.
Yes, I know.
And they've really made the effort to turn themselves, parts of their store, into express centres. So they're setting up Apple and Samsung and Sony dedicated areas within their big stores. And they're getting professionals in there to really talk to you and help you experience the product and understand what you're buying. And what that's actually doing is it's giving consumers a chance to understand the product and understand what they're paying for. And you can't always do that on Taobao or JD. And that is where the value of going into a store lies. I think about when I purchase some video games. Now, I'm quite tech savvy anyway. But I love going into the store and talking to the guy who sells the games and talking about what's good and what's coming out soon.
Yeah.
And even playing a round or two in the shop before I go home. And it's that kind of service that's going to be the foundation for brick and mortar or brick and water if they want to survive in the long run.
I believe Sam is pointing to the right direction for the future of brick and mortar stores. Sure, online sales has a lot of impact on retailers, but that only accounts for a small percentage. Mm-hmm. I remember there's a figure showing that even at the height of its popularity of online sales in the US, it accounted for only 10%. Of all sales conducted in the US, and now the percentage has dropped to 5%. That shows that there's still a huge amount of demand for people to want to see, feel, and experience the product they're trying to buy before they decide to actually buy it.
Yeah, and especially when we're talking about, let's say, clothes or some of the durable goods. I can't think of other examples right now, but the things the things that you want to try out, that you want to have a feel of it, and back to clothes, when you need to know that it fits you perfectly and you want to really, you know, just use your hand and caress the fabric and make sure that is what you want. And that is why I do not shop online at all. I know some of our dear listeners know that I stay in my cave and I'm a Luddite, that I don't like technology, but that is not the reason why I don't shop online for clothes. It's because, well, when you have these professionals that know you so well and give you WeChat updates, personal a touch to it, and give you recommendations and say, oh, Mademoiselle Joe, we have the perfect item for you right now. It is fresh season. I think it suits you superbly. Could you please come to our store and have a look? And when Mademoiselle Joe goes into the store and you get warm greetings and all kinds of pleasantry, and you then try on the clothes, and you even get a bottle of, a glass of champagne or orange juice on demand.
That sounds really There's a huge difference between champagne and orange juice in terms of price.
Well, yes, but you get to choose. And who wouldn't want to be the girl that goes to that boutique? And Mademoiselle Joe is her young. So, I'm happy to pay a little bit more for that kind of service and go to that store. Who wants to shop online in comparison? Girls, don't get that cheap stuff online. You want to save up and invest in an item that's durable, that's worthwhile, that you can wear forever. End of speech there.
Hey, and we get it. You have a vendetta against online clothes retailers, apparently. But
that's not the point. As
gents, we missed pretty much the point of that long soliloquy.
Well, for you guys for a little bit of education.
Just on the point that Hoya made, one thing I'd quickly like to cite is that out of all our examples of brick and mortar stores that are failing, clothes stores aren't in that list. So it does show that what Ho Yang's saying is true. And they're also making the biggest steps in terms of innovation to keep loyal customers like Ho Yang. I thought of a great example that we talked about on Frontline, which is my technology show recently, about how a lot of high-end stores in Europe, they're implementing cameras into their changing room. So you can... So you can stand in the middle of the changing room and the camera will be able to will scan your body and it will show you a picture of you in the mirror wearing every single item of clothing in the store. So you can mass look, okay, which looks good on me? Oh, that color. And then you can pick up five or six items of clothing and then go and try them on. And it, the clothing industry is leading by example in terms of services and experimenting with new things, like the example I gave, in making sure that they don't lose out to online retailers. They're not giving a quarter, and I do like that competitive mentality.
Yes, and I think service is certainly the growth point for these stores. If you want people to actually physically go into that shop, it is a bit of an hard ask in certain circumstances.
I don't think you're actually showing off. I think maybe you are pointing to the fact that there are mature consumer behaviors. I mean, the habit of shopping online may have some link to the desire for some cheap products. But let's face this, this is not a mature consumer behavior. But I believe there's a lot of potential in Chinese consumers, and as they mature, they will have similar demand like Ho Yang or Mademoiselle Zhou has in terms of the quality of services they can offer in these brick-and-mortar stores.
And the biggest point that Liming's just making, it is very quickly, is that clothes, unlike a lot of the goods we've been talking about, like McDonald's hamburgers, are goods of ostentation. Oh. And people purchase those goods, as it says in the name, to be ostentatious. You want to be, you buy expensive clothes partially because of the high quality, because they have a higher price tag, because they have a certain status attached to them.
It's hardly that.
I'm talking about a lot of consumer trends. And okay. That's going to be helpful for them if they're being sold in brick and mortar stores, because you want to see people seeing you buy them.
I do not. Okay, I'm sorry to put myself out there again, but certainly I don't want anybody to see what I'm buying, and certainly I am afraid of that notion of having cameras in the fitting room or even near there.
Sounds too good to be true for a nerd.
Well, okay.
We're
very different people, but certainly I want my personal information, my images safe with myself. But yes, I think thank you for that little discussion, and I think we point at the right direction in that sense. And what do you think, aside from the service, should these traditional stores keep in mind to make changes to suit for the taste of today's consumers?
You mean, should they try and figure out a way to save the business?
Well, that's also a different question, I think.
I don't think we should save them in the first place.
So just let them die. But what's a good new business model? Like, what do you think is changing right now?
Well, in light of Sam's recommendation of something that the clothing industry has been doing, the same logic can be applied to other businesses. For example, IT companies can try and rent some place in supermarkets to have the products displayed. And also maybe some other places where parents and children can hang out. We have just removed some restrictions on the number of children we can have in a family. So we are most likely going to see more children being born, and there's going to be more demand for places where parents and children can both hang out.
Yeah, I think that's a really spot on observation, because we're seeing department stores doing badly, but these new shopping malls, they're everywhere and they're growing fast. And now, isn't it very common for urban parents or these young families that they go to a shopping mall to watch movies maybe the parents watch movies and leave the kids, I don't know if there's a babysitter or not, but to one of those
gawking at IT products?
Well, playgrounds that have people to look after your children for maybe 2 hours or so, and then the kids can play there, the parents can have a little bit of fun, and then the family can have a dinner later, you know, so you spend the whole day in that shopping mall, and you can do so many things in there, and it is no longer just purchasing stuff. It has become like
a place to hang out.
Yeah.
And you know what? This kind of trend change is already happening, at least in suburban Beijing. I've been to many parts of suburban Beijing, and I've noticed a lot of mega shopping malls being built there. And on weekends, there are a lot of people in the nearby. They come and sort of just hang out in this huge supermarkets, maybe to enjoy the air conditioning or the heating. But I'm sure there's a lot of place they can, a lot of things they can do. Maybe watch a movie and maybe shop on some of the clothing stores or have a decent meal in certain restaurants.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things they can do. And also, I see maybe in some part of Beijing or urban Beijing, I think there's a skiing ground for parents to take their children to. There's a lot of children is practicing skiing. And also fitness centers can be a great idea. For example, for young people like Sam, who has a thing for fitness and exercise.
Yeah, he's very fit, devotes a lot of his personal time in the gym to build up muscle and look great.
Yeah, let's face it, not all people like to build up a lot of muscle, but maybe for girls, there are places for them to learn some dancing, like karate or different genres. That's a huge business point.
Yeah, so now it's all about just, you know, locking that consumer in that shopping, experiencing, basically making you spend ecosystem. And the longer you're stuck there, the more money you will pay. And, well, if you go home with a happy experience, why not?
I fully agree, and I think when you're looking at the experience being given, it's important to remember that if you try to build a product that people want, if you build it for the goal of it being something you think someone's going to enjoy, it's far more likely to make you a profit than building something for the purpose of just making money. And I think when you're looking at all these services you can give people and how to improve that service, the ultimate ending for this is going to be that you're going to end up making more money as a proprietor. So I agree with everything you guys have said.
Just make the brick and mortar stores stay in people's lives.
Yes.